All right, let's continue our discussion on how faith works in prayer. Of course, you know, I noticed this is our fourth day on that subject, and it's only one of the points I wanted to make on that I have made up till now. The other things I've been talking about have been other matters that have to do with our Christianity, other matters that have to do with a good walk with the Lord, like we talked about not being... not making fear a habit and not doing things that feed fear. That was what I talked about the first day. Allow those things to flow. If I feel the unction upon me to say those things, I just allow them. But the main thing I want to talk about is how faith works in prayer. And we have talked about one, really. And that's what we read from the book of Psalm 73, verse 25, when David said, when the psalmist said, "Who do I have in heaven but you? And upon this earth I have desired no one else or nothing else." That is, a believer does not desire connections. If God brings connections into his or her life, she takes advantage of it. He takes advantage of it as the Lord makes it possible. But that's not what they are gunning for. They know that God can save by a thousand, and he can save by many, and he can save by few. It doesn't matter. If God finds only one person to save by, he saves by that person. If he finds a multitude to save by, he saves by that, by the multitude. Remember the story of Gideon. Gideon had just about, how many people now? I can't remember the story. It's been a while. Is it 300? Is that why they made the film 300? Sir? Is it called people like Gideon? You know, he had just about 300 people to use, and he routed them, all right? But David, at a point in time, even though he was anointed by God and God was with him, the Bible says that he amassed an army that was like the army of God, all right? When you see David's army, you'll be threatened by their numbers alone. They were plenty, all right? But he understood that God was not saving by the number. God was saving by his grace. Let's put it like that. So the point is that we must understand that. So he said, "I do not desire anything on the earth. I'm not reaching out for those things. I am reaching out only to improve my walk with God." Let me say that again. He said, "Who do I have in heaven but you?" The amount of God you experience on the earth is the amount of God you have discovered. That's what it is. And that's why you must continually learn the names of God. We talked about this some time ago. You know, we can't say these things enough, all right? Peter said, "I know you've heard them, but you must be established," all right? So I will not forget to remind you of them. God has different names he bears. The more you understand God's name, the more you experience his power. His name is not Greek, it's not Hebrew. Don't ever forget that, all right? Jehovah Witness will come to your house and say, "His name is Jehovah." His name is not Jehovah, amen? His name is just I Am, you know what I'm saying? It depends on what situation he's dealing with at a particular point in time. So he can reveal himself by the name Jehovah. He can reveal himself by different names, all right? You will see the name that is used in the New Testament to describe him, all right, which was unique, is the word Father, all right? It's God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's always described in relationship with the person of Jesus. So the more of him you know, that's what I'm trying to say. So he has many names. And in fact, if you go through the scriptures, you will find hundreds of them. You just have to know how to decode those names. For example, you say, "I am God that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children." That is a name. Those are not two names. It's a name. Just as the name is long. You get my point? And some of you have very long names. If you describe the creator God, that's a name. You get my point? Savior. Like, you see names like High Tower, Fortress, all right? Shield, Buckler. Those are names. Those are names. He's my shield. That's the name, my shield. Do you get my point? My bulletproof vest. You know, those days they talk about shield because they had to use shields. Now we use bunker. Not my fortress, now we use my bunker. You know, it's a bunker. When they are fighting, where you run inside, when bullet is flying all over the place. So if we wrote those things to this, you know, day, he'll be my radar-guided missile. You know, you know what I'm saying? He'll be all kinds of names. You'll be my bunker where I hide against atomic bombs. You know, stuff like that. God has a name he bears. We must understand that. So, what is it? Who do I desire? Who do I have in heaven but thee? I must know the person I have. The more of God I know, the more I experience in this life. I was reading a book one day, and something just, you know, it hit me. I tweeted that statement. It said that the more of that God manifests his power in the area in which we are willing to believe him. That's what it is. Is the area of life in which we are willing to believe God, that is where he manifests his power. And sometimes the advantages we have in life, you know, sometimes I think about it, you know, because there's so much medicine around. You know, I'm trained to be, so you know how to use medicine. So, you know, I think about it sometimes that if this amount of medicine was not available, what would people do? Recently, I got an answer. You will have more faith if you're a Christian. That is all. This one that you have a ball, you've taken ampiclox. You have a ball, you have taken this one. If there was no ampiclox, you will lay hands on it in the name of Jesus. Come out for here. The thing will park like this. They run. You go, they look up. But because we have alternatives, we often just overlook it. What is that? Buy this cream, put on it. You know, that's it. you don't exercise yourself, all right? I'm not saying it's bad or good. I'm just trying to explain that. So oftentimes we don't experience the manifestation of God's power in those areas because we have not taken time out to exercise ourselves so that he will be able to manifest his power in those areas. And that's why this is a matter of fact. I say it again. The more I preach, the more I look at life, the more I believe it. Nobody has a real disadvantage in life. Nobody. That I have come to find out. Nobody has a real disadvantage in life. In fact, let me tell you something that will interest you. Just this happened this afternoon. Something happened. So I ran to my management office. I went to go and look for my CMD or my CMAC. The CMD was not around, so I knew I would see the CMAC. As God will have it, she was just coming into the office as I was getting to her door. So I said, good. Anyway, I had three issues. One of them had to do with employment. You know, I wanted to find something out. So they were not telling me about how they did employment they just did recently. Listen to this. It interests you. That they did interview and people had to write tests. And the CMD, the current CMD, he's so insistent on merit. You know his reason? He said that his father was a nobody. And everything he got in life, like to enter university, he had to just straight pass jam. Nobody was going to talk to anybody for him. To come for residency, he had to just pass. You know, so he's like, listen, so as long as he's the boss, anybody who will try, all right, and he can see the effects of the fact that the fellow is trying, the fellow is coming in. So that's in fact, I was talking to C-Mark, she was explaining it to me, all right. But you see, there's another thing. Some people think they know people inside administration. So they said the interview, when they were collating the marks, there were many copies. So they now give the marks to some people to handle. They said twisting marks. Now listen to this. Maybe you got 51. Somebody will just change it to 61 for you so that because you know somebody. Unfortunately for them, the CMD had one of the original copies. So when the panel sat down to meet, they started finding some twisted marks. Things were changing. Ah, what is going on? Now, without anybody arguing, this was the consensus. Once your mark changed, they removed your name from consideration. I heard that they said, okay, you think you know people? No problem. That once they look, whether it was good or bad, they didn't even check. Once your mark has been altered, your name is pulled out. And you must understand, they have hundreds to choose from. So they had the luxury and liberty of just yanking out names. By the time they finished, this is the point I'm trying to make. If somebody tried to help you, he was the disadvantage. Don't ever forget it. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm persuaded. In life, you don't have any real disadvantage. No, especially as a believer, you don't have. Because the area where people have their natural advantages is where you will stretch your faith and have an advantage that they don't have, which their natural advantage becomes a disadvantage. Because on this earth, they have many others. Are you getting my point? Therefore, they don't reach out to know more about the God that they have in heaven. So the fellow who does not have any of that has no choice. If he's a true Christian studying the word of God, will reach out to God and God will show that indeed I am the most high. I don't compete in height. You get my point? I am the most high. Nobody is near me. The title is complete, most high. You know what that means? The most powerful. The most important connection. And those are not theoretical facts. They are practical things. It means the person who knows God gets to a place where the man who knows the president can't get to. That's what it means. It's not something we learn in church. You know, just come to church, say, we get to church, let's deceive ourselves. God is the most high, but the boy, you know anybody, we high small. No. If you understand that he's the most high, that's it. Period. He's the most high. Anywhere he's getting me to, Anywhere he wants me to get to, I will get there. It is irrelevant whether I know somebody or I don't. That was the first point I made. And that's the second day in this series. Who do I have in heaven but you? On this earth, I have desired nobody else, nothing else. No human connection. If I had money, there are statements you don't make. Let me say this, just drop it. You know, we're talking about how faith works in prayer. It's a habit of faith. There are statements you don't make. If I had money, this is what I would do. It's an insult. Tell your neighbor, it's an insult. You are insulting God. You are telling him money is the most high. I said, God, money is the most high. I have you, but even if I had money, the only you I get now be my problem. That's it. There are things you can't do that requires to have money. I'm going to talk about that today again because there are actually three things are the points I wanted to make. Actually, again, it can't be the first time we're making those points on how faith works in prayer. It's one we have made now. All right? Now, the other week was when I made my first point. Today, I want to make the other two points if I can. All right? But if I can't, we'll finish it up next time. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So you see, there are statements you don't make. I was saying, as a Christian, you make faith a habit. If only I had money, this is what I would do. Okay, now that you don't have money and you want to do that, this is faith. Make the habit to pray about them. You know, God will surprise you in this life. In fact, let God surprise you one day now. Amen. Yes, he should. Ask for something, you know, out of ordinary. Things that requires money and people to do. Good. Go after those things when you are sure you don't have money and you don't have people. And sometimes God does things for people just to make a point. What happened to Peter? He caught fish, so much fish, enough fish to drown him. After that, he said, come and be fishers of men. Was that not the end of fishing business? And that was the end of fishing business. After he helped him to make a lot of money fishing, as soon as the fellow got the point, he said, now, can we go? I will now make you fishers of men. So sometimes in life, God will do something for you. He says, it's not yet the time. It's not yet the time. I just want you to know. Now that you have made up your mind, you want to learn. Let me show you some things. After that, we'll leave those things alone. But the time will come back later. A lot of things that you are running for in life that are not with you yet. No, I keep on saying it. It's not because you are cursed. It's because it's not yet the time. No, please, don't ever forget that thing. No. Don't ever forget that thing. Many of the things you are longing for in life you don't have yet. It's not because you have a problem. It is because it is not yet what? Time. If I say this, surprise some people. You can marry today and God say, wait, you are not barren. There's nothing wrong with you. But please, can I have 4 years, please? We have things to do the first 4 years. You don't have children yet. And you are not contraceptives. And since you don't know that it's the straight will of God. You know, that's why I scream, just be thankful. You must just be thankful all the time. You know, don't let anybody tell you, because if you go for deliverance meeting, you have problems. I'm the one telling you. If you are one of my disciples in the word of God, you go for deliverance meeting, you will have the kind of problems you will beg for help to come out of. I'm warning you. That's not a joke. If you go for deliverance meeting, the kind of problem you have over the next 3 months, you will have to repent of deliverance for God to forgive. Oh, please, get what I'm saying. Once, I read a book. One woman went for, it was a Kenneth Hagin book, yes. One of the people who blessed me so much in the faith. There was a church, they were doing all this deliverance. You come, they go look your face. You have a demon of contour head, you know. They now deliver contour head from you. Who not get contour of a head? Have you ever seen a head without contour? The other day, I heard of demon of succubus, incubus, succubus. I was shocked when I read that. I said, what is this? Somebody now told me that. I said, okay, these are the ones that fly between 2 a.m. Sorry, between 12 midnight and 2 a.m. And there, as a Christian, be careful, though. Those guys have a way of just manufacturing all kinds of things. Anyway, this woman one day went for a deliverance meeting. Nothing wrong with her. Most Christians don't have any problem more than the problem of ignorance. Yes? And falling for satanic temptation once in a while. Those are all their problems. Sometimes we have a problem of laziness. Sometimes God says, this guy, you don't like to walk. You're looking for a tie. Meanwhile, I've given you cutlass. So let me use hunger to teach you some lessons. So this woman went for the deliverance meeting. They laid hands on her and delivered her of one demon. I don't know where the demon came from, what it is. But let's make a long story short. She started salivating profusely. Her mouth, spit was always coming out of her mouth. Saliva was just pouring. So they said, good, that the demon has come out as saliva. So they congratulated her and she went home. Except for one problem. The thing did not stop. She was spitting all the time. Her mouth was always full. That is, her salivary glands were working over time. Always pouring out saliva. Just pouring out spit all the time. She had to be wiping her mouth continuously and spitting all the time. It was not a real problem. That day they told her it was a demon that was leaving. But this one did not finish going away. That was when they introduced to this man of God. So when he told his story, the man said, you went for deliverance meeting, eh? She said, yes, sir. He said, that's what the problem is. He said to her simply, one, I'm going to pray for you. This is going to stop. And if you go for another deliverance meeting, you have a worse problem than this. Do you understand? And the woman said, yes, sir. Let's make a long story short. He prayed for her then, rebuked the evil spirit that had not entered her mouth. The salivation stopped instantly. And he warned her, don't go back there. Can you see that? She had no problem. One of my friends, he said the story. One day, one pastor met him and told him that he needed to pray. I think he was going to travel the next day for business. They bound, he started binding all kinds of spirits around his life. See, I don't like to look like I like causing problems. But I like to tell the truth. Do you understand? Your problems are about to start. If as a good Christian, studying the word of God, you start looking, people say that the reason why you don't have money is that you have a demon to be delivered of, the demon of poverty. Go for that deliverance first. The little you thought you had. The little you thought you had. They will now collect it, and that's the end of your... That, in fact, according to Americans, I knew my life was over. That's the end of your financial life. Once you go for that deliverance. Are you saying people don't need deliverance? There's a long story about it. Unbelievers need deliverance routinely. They need to be delivered from sin, amen? Yes. And then, it's all about Christians. Number one method of deliverance for believers is the word of God. As you constantly fill your life with the word of God, are you getting my point? The whatever problems, they are just moving away. Because actually, what happens is that in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered. So what you're just doing that you are just coming to realization of it as the word is coming forth. And as the word, if the word doesn't come into effect deliverance, no matter the prayer they pray, it works only for a day or two. You hear what I say? It works for how long? A day or two. There's nobody filled with the word of God that cannot stand up to any demon in his or her life. There's none. So, don't let anybody be doing diagnosis on your head. What's the problem? When I sleep at night, I dream of water. I've told you they are pursuing you at night. Go and check how many people am I owing. If you are not owing anybody, no spirit can pursue you at night. Next time they are pursuing you at night, go and check how many people are you owing. Last time you went to the market, somebody forgot change with you. You said, now my luck. That's the people pushing you at night. How can an adult Christian be pursued at night? I mean, they are pursuing me and you now come for deliverance. Confess. Next time, there will be two. And they'll be running faster. You'll be getting more tired. Until you just get up and say, I want to run again. You just turn and face. Who are those pursuing me? You find that there's nobody there. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, why did I go into all of that? I can't even remember, but I can retrace my step to one place where I started saying, look, you are not cursed. Amen? Stop looking for deliverance. So in our generations, nobody has ever made money. That was then. This is now. Amen? And that's not the reason why you are broke. You are broke now because your life is in stages. It's good to be broke when you are young. Now, I keep on saying it. If you are broken, you are young, and you love God, be happy. Let me give you one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are thee when thou art broke, when thou art young. Because as an old man, you will never beg. You'll be so rich, you'll be helping multitudes. Amen. That's it. It's a beatitude. It's true. All right? It's very important. Don't let people doing any stupid diagnosis on your head. No. Life is in stages. That's the point I'm just trying to make. All right? So many of the things people think are problems, they're not real problems. They are just one of the manifestations of the stage of their life that they are in. So like I was saying earlier, a Christian must understand that. God can say to you, give me 3 years as a young married woman. Give me 4 years. Why? There are other things to do. So that's why you must go and listen to my message again. Occupy daily. What did I call it? Occupy. What does occupy daily mean? Every day has an assignment. Don't be preoccupied with the things that are, you are wishing for this. You are preoccupied with it. If you are going to be a billionaire, using money as an example, God didn't say, sit at home and be mapping what you will do with billions. You can do that once in a while, maybe when you have nothing else to do in the evening. But in the morning, check, what's the problem? God said, cut the grass in front of your house. Be occupied with cutting the grass. You work in an office, be occupied with what is going on there. You're a student, be occupied with being a student. A student must know book. You know what it means to know book? Although it's our pidgin English, but what it means to know book means to be acquainted with book, to recognize book, to know book when you see it, know what's inside it. No, that page in English is so perfect. It perfectly describes what our lives are supposed to be as students. You know, Englishman will say, maybe the fellow is not intelligent, he's not learning. You know, no, that's it's not. It's a bit confusing. I like the pidgin English one. He said, I know no book. Which means I'm not well acquainted with book. I have not yet interacted enough with book. Are you getting my point? You know, if you come now, just maybe you see one nice looking lady. Say, do you know her? I say, oh, no, I don't know her. What is that? I don't know her. Is that not so? But if you bring my wife, the Lord is good. I know this one properly. Amen? I know her well. In fact, I know my wife so well. As we're living in, I'm not joking about this. If I hear a car coming, from the sound of the tires, I could tell it's my wife. I'm not joking. That's not a joke. She used to drive like James Bond. And because of where we're living, the road will kind of straight until you get to our junction. And our house is just the second house of that junction. I just hear, and the car just breaking. There's a way you just hear the sound, the sound of the brakes, the sound of everything. I said, Madam has come. That is, how come I know her so much? Interaction, is that not so? I mean, talking. You know, there's nobody I've talked to more in my life than my wife. If she's not around, now so they talk for phone. Talk. One day, one woman saw me in church. I was talking with my wife. I said, Pastor Banky, is it not the same house two of you came from? Sorry, ma. Some people were playing. I think we just arrived from, we're about to enter church. The way I was teasing, I forgot what we were doing. Just there. He said, it's not the same house we are coming from. It's the same house, so it's not my fault. It's in the Bible like that. I don't want to go there. My wife used to tell, I said, listen, it's in the scripture. I'm a scriptural man. Stop telling me I'm disturbing you. Be exhilarated at all times. All right? The point I'm just making is that it's that interaction that makes me know her very well. So a student should interact that well with a book, with books, and then the boy go, no book. Is that not so? Yes. Say, do you know? Yes, now I know this fellow. It's a stage in life. Doesn't mean you won't be a billionaire tomorrow. It means the stage in life right now is to know books. So get involved with books. Please, I'm digressing. Let me just sit on this. Tell yourself, tell all young men and women around you, you are not going to school to get a certificate. You are going to school to know book. Are you getting my point? Yes, you should be. It's a work of God to know it. It's not the work of God to pass. It's a work of God to know. Passing is a consequence of knowing. I tell my students, don't ever escape a subject. Say, we don't escape that one. There's no escaping. It's waiting for you at another level later in life. Are you getting my point? So God has given us something to do each day of our lives. Each day there is an assignment. Be occupied with that. You are not cursed. You are broke now doesn't mean you are cursed. Are you getting my point? So my business, last two businesses didn't do well. It's because you did not know how to do them. So what do? You learn from it. If you ever read this book, Richest Man in Babylon, told the man how to save up money to invest. So one day he said, how are you doing? He said, I gave my money to the bricklayer to go and buy diamond for us to sell. He said, you give money to a bricklayer to buy diamond. He said, no problem. Precious stones, he said. He said, you have learned your first lesson. The business had not returned. He said, don't worry. Now you know that you do not give, if you want to buy brick, yes, give money to a bricklayer. When you want to buy precious stones, you give money to a man who is skilled in precious stones. See, of course, by the time the man returned, they stained glass for him. In Phoenix, he went to Phoenix. Not the one in Arizona, whatever that place was those days. And I came back, and they found that it was glass. That was his first lesson. That was the first lesson. People say, come and buy land. You appreciate in value. Ask my wife. I said, I want to buy. They said, why? I said, because I'm a pastor and a doctor. I'm not a land buyer. I'm not a speculator. I said, if I buy, I will be breaking a rule that I have taught everybody not to break. You know, many of you are falling for it. Because you have money. Instead of you to give as offering, you go and buy land, laying up treasure on the earth. Very good. Your own is even literal earth. Not even laying on the earth. You bought earth. God is going to collect his money. I'm not talking about. You say, buy land, it will go up. Your daddy called me, my friends. They're selling land in Abuja. I said, all the way from here to Abuja. I said, I don't buy. Say, price will go up. Don't worry, my money will go up too. I'm prospering more and more by the day. Don't worry about it. The path of the year is like the light of dawn. You say, hey, look, this man bought that time. I said, listen, there are people who know the job. One day my colleagues gathered, they said, we want to buy land, we want to do this one. So I was at, because it's nice to own property and build on it and all that. Very nice idea. So I got involved. And I said, what are we going to do? I said, wait, before we do it, all of you come, let's go to Copen Group there. I know the big boss, Ugochime. I said, I know him. I mean, the man, if I want to talk to him, he will listen to me. So I told Roque, please, give us an appointment with your boss. She said, okay, Pastor Banky and his colleague want to come and see you. I mean, was it, look, we should pay for such things, but he did it for us free. The man said, where is the land? He brought out his iPad, Google Earth, showing us all parts of Enugu. That was the first time I saw Google Earth really working. Showing the, in fact, they almost captured your car. You saw, I just saw everything. So we described here and there. He said, this road, he said, this land, this is where people want to buy. We said, yes. He said, it's bad business. Negotiation had gone far. He said, this is bad business. And he gave his reasons. He said, look at this. The road, the connection road is from here. He gave us the amount of kilometers. This is business. He said, this community, I talked to them then to leave this and this, and they did not agree with me. So they developed this area, leaving this road to be... By the time he finished analyzing, I said, praise God. What impressed me was that he was talking the way I talk Bible. You get my point? The way I talk as a pathologist. If you come with tissue for me, and I'm describing... That's how he was describing land. In fact, he would tell a story. Remember this particular land? I told... That is... After we spoke for like 30 minutes, simple summary, bad idea. So I tell Rocky, I say, listen, if you say buy land, I say, if I have money to buy land, I'll come and give you. I'll tell you, hold it for me. When your guy is buying land, add my money, join. Yes. Don't be foolish, for goodness sake. You can be buying land that after you finish paying, community will come and beat everybody. Oh, God. I told one sister like that. He said, Pastor Mark, you are correct. That my mother told me her experience. I said, good. Now, I'm just saying, just be careful. Like, there's no fast money. People say that, just join this group. They'll just be pouring money into your lap every day. Network marketing. Many of you have joined. You found out it's a lie. Where's your money? It has gone. It has been used to pay your upline. You have learned the lesson the bad way. Is network marketing bad? No, it's not bad, but there's no free money. That's all. I was there one day, I saw one smooth talking girl rapping away my colleagues. I just looked. When you want to talk to me, I said, don't even start. You know who I married? Which business have they not brought to my wife? Which one she never do? Including when I had to be brushing with aloe vera grass. I said, please, don't even start. I said, don't start. There's no free money anywhere. My wife found out the very hard way. If I spend this amount of energy you want me to spend making forever living rich, I will become an under forever living. There's no free money. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know, I'm saying many things. I pray I can get back to my message so we can preach today. It's time, don't go now. Oh, Pastor Banky, behave. What's it going to make? Everything in life, you have to learn it. So many people in life, that's why all these so-called curses, that's been the problem. You are going to a business you don't know anything about. He said the magic of penny stocks. Penny stocks became cobble stocks. You saw it now? After all, many people have sold their father's land, inheritance, invest in the stock market. Some people fed fat on it. Anyway, that's how wealth is redistributed. So as to confirm the word which was spoken, lay up not treasure on the earth, where moths do destroy, and thieves do break in and steal. Wisdom is what a lot of people don't have. You are not cursed. That's what I'm going to say. As a Christian, you must learn. You must learn. These are the problems people often have. And I say, curse. No, because. Now, you have to learn. We just have to learn. You are getting what I'm going to explain. All right, we have to be willing to learn. So that man in that said, listen, that's your first lesson. So all the business I tried to do didn't work. Yes, learn. You've learned something. I like what Robert Kiyosaki said, you can lose money, but don't ever lose the lesson from that experience. Lose money, fine, but you come out of there with one lesson. Don't ever lose that lesson. Very important to understand all of these things. What I'm saying again is this, Christians, you can have problems in life. It doesn't mean you are cursed. Even Jesus had a problem. You know now. Judas was a problem. You can't have Judas in your ministry. Tell me you don't have a problem. Are you getting my point? And you do calculation, money not correct. It's a problem. When you're trying to do what is right and somebody's always telling you to do this the other way because he's thinking of his pocket. Is that not the problem? So you have a problem, solve it. Amen? Amen. You have a problem, what do you do? Don't come and say because of that you are cursed. Don't go. I don't know why I said that today. Maybe somebody came here already planning to go for deliverance. Come with a warning for you. If you go, you will need twice that dose by the following week. Don't go near there. Demons will enter into your head. You start hearing voices. I'm warning you. My friend was telling me about. He said that when he finished that prayer session, they were binding demons from every mile. Maybe so that business could flow. So after that, he became sick, the kind of sickness unto death. I laughed. My wife was there that day. I laughed. I said, trouble sleep. Young girl go wake up. I said, that's what happened to you. He said, by the time they finished binding the demons, it took them, how many hours? Can you remember? There were 3 or 6 hours or 9 hours. I told him, I said, that person must really be jobless. You know, sometimes people don't have work to do. They not create work. Unnecessary work. How can you be binding demons for is that 3 or 6 or 9 hours? One ridiculous length of time. Book appointment for the whole day. That's why they will charge you 50,000, you will pay. After that, he said he fell sick. No, the kind of sickness that he thought he was going to die. When he said the Jesus, I had a very good laugh that day. I said, yes. He said, I would allow sleeping dogs to lie. He went and started waking it. They don't bite you now. By the way, that's the mercy of God telling you, don't do this again. Listen, if you're a child of God here, say amen.
Amen.
If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
Don't go for all those. Let nobody come and harass you. Say, I want to deliver you from things that are not worrying you. Say, your great-grandfather was an Ogbanje spirit. Tell them that was his problem. None of my business. Say, he killed many people. He killed many people. What's my problem? Jesus said, I and the children that the Lord has given me. I and the children, that is me and one of them. We are for signs and for wonders. Not, we didn't kill many people. So, that was the one that makes me laugh all the time. give an offering for the redemption of the sins of your ancestors. Say, Uli, he wants to collect offering. Go and collect from somebody else who's confused. I'm not confused. The Lord is good. And perhaps you'll be giving such offerings. I want to forgive you today on the Lord's behalf. You are forgiven. You don't want to say amen now, have you? Okay, don't say it loud under your breath. Okay, everybody just say amen so that those who want to say it will feel good saying it. I say you are forgiven.
Amen.
All those naira offerings you have been trying to use to kill, curses. I say to you, you are forgiven.
Amen.
All the time you have insulted the Lord Jesus Christ, telling him that his death was not good enough. You are forgiven.
Amen.
But don't do it again. Go and sin no more. That is the message. As a child of God, you are totally free. That's the point I'm making. All you need to do is walk in the light of the freedom that God has called you into. I hope you are getting my point. And whoever it is that made me preach the kind of message today, I don't know how you are. Don't make me preach it again, no.